Welcome to FemLead, the podcast on female leadership and role models. This show aims to inspire and equip you with the tools you need to navigate your career plans. FemLead brings inspiring career perspectives and strategies to guide your path to success. Your host, Alexandra, will interview role models on new exciting topics with each episode. If you like what you hear, give us a review and subscribe to the show on your preferred streaming platform. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of FemLead Podcast. I'm Alexandra Chobotaru, your host, and today we have Alem Senturk as our next guest. I can guarantee you that you are about to listen to an interview that can be life-changing. As the founder and CEO of Women on Stage, Alem's goal is to increase the number of female leaders in Switzerland and beyond. As an immigrant, a strong woman, and a mother with 23 years of experience in the pharmaceutical industry, she exactly knows which challenges women and mothers face within the corporate environment. To overcome these challenges, Alem has designed the Sponsoring Women program, a career acceleration program in which female talents, such as young academicians, mother returning to business, and women in business in general, within the life science industry and beyond, are being connected with top leaders in the industry who grant them access to hidden job markets, increase their visibility, and network. I reached out to Alem because I believe sponsorship is one of those concepts that many women don't know about, especially when they start progressing in their careers. We're here today to discuss about the concept of sponsorship. We are here today to discuss about empowerment for women everywhere. Alem has a lot of experience, and in this interview, she's giving you hands-on advice on how to tackle your next career discussion. I hope you will share with us some feedback, whether you implement this advice. And I really encourage you to follow Alem online. So without further ado, enjoy this episode and let's say hello to Alem. Hello, Alem. It's really a pleasure to have you here. Welcome to FemLead Podcast. How are you today?
Thanks, Alexandra. Thanks for the invitation. I feel very well. Thanks a lot. So it's a great day. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really happy that we got to meet. We have been in contact for the past month trying to figure out how to connect. And I am so excited about the topic that you're going to discuss because it's new. And it's also something that you became an expert in discussing. And I do not think that a lot of us have in-depth knowledge on sponsorship. And what I mean by that is sponsorship with an organization so that you can grow. It's about career development. And I think this word in this context is fairly new, or at least new to us, people that haven't been in like executive positions. But I think a lot of the audience members will get a lot out of it. So I'm very, very excited, Alem. Thank you so much for taking the time. So please, you take on the stage and tell us what do you do in your day-to-day work at Women on Stage and introduce a little bit about yourself.
Thanks a lot, Alexandra. Yeah, indeed, the terminology sponsorship in the career development, especially for women, it's very new. Because we all know, you know, what a coach does, what a mentor does, but we don't necessarily know what a career sponsor does and how important that is for us when we want to actually design a career to have short-term, long-term, mid-term career goals and how they can help us to navigate ourselves within our career goal or career journey. To start with, basically, who is a career sponsor, right? These are very powerful leaders. This can be men, women, working in a company already in a very powerful position, in a leadership position, who we can be connected with and win them over for us to really help us to open the doors, to give us access to the hidden jobs, to increase our visibility. And this is actually what I do. I'm a career coach I have been a career coach for the last 3 years with Women on Stage. And I have been helping over 100 women to move up in their career through connecting them with powerful leaders in the business. Mainly in the life science industry. And through that support, they have been able to move up one step to step with 40 to 75% salary increase. So this is basically what I do. And I work with different groups of women, One group is young academicians who want to move into this industry and are facing a number of challenges. And then another group is women back to business, you know, mothers or women who had a career break due to some family reasons, and they have a gap in their CV, don't know where to start, how to start, and they don't know their market value any longer. So then there is a group of expats, you know, female expats coming to Switzerland and looking for new opportunities. And then there are also women in business. So this is the biggest majority of the group that I work with, women that are already in business, but either feel stuck in their career because there's a reorganization ongoing, or there's a manager that is not supporting, or there are no career opportunities, growth opportunities. So here, what I basically do is, since I used to work in the life science industry for 22 years, and I was a team leader working with up to 40 different nationalities and people from different countries. So I know what it means, you know, the dynamics in business, what is required in the business life from a CV perspective point of view, from a visibility point of view, from a communication point of view, from a resilience point of view, from a conflict mastering point of view, and from an interview point of view. And with all of that, I help my clients to become a better version of themselves, to have a stronger branding, and then connect them with top leaders in the area they want to move, who really help them. And I also help them to identify their current market value and negotiate that value.
Wow. You sound like a fairy for anybody who wants to progress in their career like 10x. It sounds like you will be there along the way, and you will give the advice that maybe they don't find or they don't know who to ask outside of their network. And that's really important, because the reason why we also met today is to talk about the idea that you don't need to know everything yourself, and you can ask for help, and you can get the support system that you need. And this is something that for a lot of people, for some reason, doesn't come natural to say, you know, I'm in a difficult situation now because I'm negotiating a position, but I don't think I'm being paid fairly. I think I can actually ask for more, or I can ask for more benefits, but who do I ask? And, you know, the two of us maybe have some support system, or maybe we've learned how to navigate this because we have more opportunities to find out about it. But if someone is listening and doesn't know where to start, be aware of the fact that, you know, following people like Alem and kind of being on top of knowing that there's always room for negotiation is really important for you to have that kind of feeling of maybe there's something more there. And I think this is important to say upfront, because some people might be wondering, okay, but how do I do that? It doesn't come naturally for most of us to go in a room and say, oh, this is a good offer, but you can offer me more. And this is something that needs to be trained, and someone needs to tell you, okay, realistically, your value in the market is this. So then the next question comes, how do you do that? And for you, Alem, I would love to know, how do you work with so many women to basically help their career get to the next level? Because that's what you're doing. Are you taking them through a program? Are you doing one-on-one? Are you doing group coaching? What is the setup that worked for you?
Yeah. So first of all, yes, I have designed a program that is called Sponsoring Women, right? Because I really emphasize all the sponsoring. Because we women, we are not used to that terminology, and we are not used to that support. In the men's world, having a sponsor is common sense, right? They go playing golf, they go for a beer, and they talk, and they pass the jobs to each other. So, or they are connected to someone that is powerful, and then they share, you know, they give access to the hidden jobs. So in our world, first of all, we need to make ourselves familiar with the terminology sponsor. And we have to, from very early on, and this is also when I work with the young academicians, you know, I connect them with top leaders who become their sponsors, career sponsors. And this is a long-term relationship, which most of the time turns into a friendship as well. So whenever the leader moves in the in his or her career, you know, the person is moving with him or her. So and if there are no roles that they can help them with, they help to increase their visibility. So one, you know, in that program that I work with women, we work in mostly individual on an individual basis because the needs are individual, right? Everyone is unique and everyone has unique needs. So I work with them on one-to-one and go through the program, which is actually we start with the coaching, CV preparation, LinkedIn preparation, strength identification, communication identification, resilience identification, because this is also important. How resilient am I? And when I move into a new environment, how what are my adaptability skills, right? And what are my communication skills? How can I communicate with people? How can I build trustful relationships? This is how I find it through my communication assessment. Then we also do conflict management assessment. What does conflict mean for me? Where do I find myself in a conflictual situation? And when I find myself in a conflictual situation, how does that impact my voice? Does that impact my, you know, written communication, the body language, the verbal and nonverbal communication? How do I feel? How does it impact my emotions? And which emotions are triggered? And how does that transferred on my verbal and nonverbal communication? So that is the coaching part. Then we discuss, okay, which companies do you want to move in? Which roles do you want to move in? And then what we identify the direction the person wants to go. And then I connect them with top leaders working already in those companies or and in those positions. So this is how it works. But when it comes to finding out or your own worth, right? This is a big challenge for a lot of women. Doesn't matter which culture they belong to, you know, where they come from, because the way we are being raised is different than men, you know. And we are more the givers rather than the takers. And when it comes to identification of our own value, it's a lot of work, right? We have to become more self-aware. We have to become more self-confident. But when I teach, for example, the negotiation style, is associated with a lot of times with, you know, power or hierarchy. There is someone that you need to go into a negotiation conversation that has more power than you, right? And you have to win something for you. If you look at it from that perspective, then you will not be successful. And negotiation is actually a collaboration where two parties win, where you win for yourself, but you also, the company or the person opposite you wins as well, because in the end, you bring your knowledge, your experience to the table, to the company. Right? Your core skills, your strengths. So it should be actually a conversation and a collaboration where you also need to know, okay, what do I bring? What is my added value to this role, to that team, to that department, and to that company? And what do I bring that anyone else does not bring? Right? And if you share that upfront during the interview, then expect and say, look, based on my education and so on, so many years of experience, knowledge, and my added value, my market value is this. You know, you need to know what is your market value, current market value, and never go below that. I can give you, you know, so many experiences where women who received an offer would, you know, and the offer was below their expectation. They said, I'm going to accept it because I'm so afraid that if I say something, they will reject the offer, right? And when I said, hey, no, this is 30% below your expectation or 20% below your expectation. No, you go back and say, hey, guys, this is what I bring to the table as discussed during the interview. This is my market value, and there is no way that I go down. If you want me to help you to become more successful, if you want me to make this role more successful, then you pay this amount. And we have cases that the company did even go 30%, 40% above, you know, than what they offered in the past, because they saw actually this person knows exactly what her value is. She knows how to negotiate. She knows how to have a strategy. We need her, because if she does that with us, she will do it with everyone and she will win.
Yes. Wow, there are so many reflections that I also consider while you were speaking. It's quite interesting to hear from you also knowing and seeing so many cases, how much lack of awareness we have on what actually makes us a good, you know, person for a job. And I wonder, where do we get this from? Because every time I talk with friends, but most likely when I talk to community members that show up to our events or people that write online to FemLead, they mention something about a situation they encounter. And what I read between the lines, it's a lack of confidence. I don't know how to show that this is what I want, or this is my worth, or this is how I would like the process to be. And I wonder, do you have any advice on starting to know your worth? You know, anything that has helped you in your career gain this confidence that there's ways for me to become an established professional without having to compromise on my worth?
Yeah. So there are two approaches that I have followed very, very early on in my career, right? So one is knowing your strength. So the top five strengths. What do you do? What are your strengths? And how do people know you, right? For example, one top strength of mine is achiever. I'm an achiever. I'm a doer, right? Whatever I am handed, whatever role, responsibility, I had proved to people that I will bring the best successful, the best outcome. It will always be successful. It doesn't necessarily mean that I will do it myself all the time. No, I can mobilize people. I can motivate people. I can inspire people. And as a group, as a team, we share the same vision. We go the same direction and it will be successful. Sometimes it can be a failure, but still it will be successful because we were a community, right? We were holding together. So, and this was something that I learned, I discovered for myself early on, what are my top strengths. For example, the other one is learner. I'm a learner. I'm very curious. I learn, I can really learn anything. The learning methodology increased my motivation. So that's why I'm also open, right, to really be connected with different people, learning from different cultures, different experiences, different knowledge. And when people see that you're curious, you're burning for that knowledge, information, you know, they give you more responsibility. They delegate you more projects. And they see, hey, actually, if she's in that crowd, she will be the first one or one of the first ones who will be asking a question. And she will ask a very, very valid question, right? This is also sometimes why I had been always, you know, invited in my career to podium discussions, to meetings, to be there, to listen and to ask a good question. So one thing is really discover for yourself, and there are different tools that you can use. One tool that I'm using on a daily basis is Gallup Strength Identification Tool. And I build a workshop around it that I'm also offering to my clients, to find really what are your top five strengths. But not only finding out, but also thinking about and discovering how are you using that in your work environment? How do you feel when you are able to use it? And how do you feel when you're not able to use it, right? How does that impact your motivation, engagement, the quality of work? And does your manager know what skills, strengths do you have? And does he or she delegates your responsibility accordingly? Or can you go and say, hey, guys, this is my strength or these are my strengths. And if I take the lead on that project, it will be very successful, right? Then the other thing is actually when after the strength is you know, to really be able to have a network, right? To start building your network very early on. I see that with the young academicians, right? For example, or mothers going to maternity or having a career break. So the young generation, they, while they do their master's or PhD, they don't think of future. They say, let's do this, finish this, and then I will go and search for a job. And a lot of young people don't have even a LinkedIn profile, right? Or they don't maintain it. And LinkedIn is such a powerful social media for business world. So, I mean, for me, everything is happening through LinkedIn. And this is also how we are connected, how we met each other, right? So online and an offline network, which gives you the visibility. But to be able to connect it to some people and also to be able to build a brand, because in the end, you are the brand yourself, right? You need to build trustful relationships. Everything is based on trust. If I don't trust anyone, I will not have a conversation with that person. If people don't trust me, they will not pay me for being coached. So if, you know, I also work with companies and universities, if they would not trust me, they would not pay me, right? So they should also start early on, what does trust mean to me? Do I trust someone from the beginning? Or does this person has to win my trust? Me personally, I trust everyone from the beginning until they break my trust after, I don't know how many times, 5, 6, 10 times. But there are people who say, and I had a manager who said, you know, I started the role and the very first day she said, I'm not going to trust you until you prove me the opposite. And I was like, okay, what a great day. What a great start. How can I prove her that she can trust me, right? So have a trustful relationship. Have trustful network and be a trustworthy person, first of all. And then you can start building a network. And with that network, you can become more visible. As you said earlier, you know, how can we go ask, you know, and then you know, okay, who do I have within my network? And I can go ask if I'm looking for a job. I never had to apply anywhere. I never had to search for a job. The jobs came to me because people knew, hey, actually, I trust her. And I want her to work with me again. And if I want to work with her, so I can delegate her any responsibility because I'm sure she will do it. Or if she doesn't know, she will tell me she doesn't know, but she will always find people who can do it, right? So this is how it works in business. It's all trust, using your network, building up your brand, knowing yourself, your strengths, and also your capacity, your real value.
Yeah, fantastic advice. A couple of reflections, Aylin, because you've mentioned something that some of our listeners have already heard, but there's a couple of points there that I think should be emphasized. The first one is that for some of us, finding our strengths can take a long time. So I would like to put the time perspective on this reflection that if you're listening to this and you don't know where to start, know that it's not going to happen in a week that you're going to find out all of your strengths and everything that you're supposed to know about yourself. This is also a journey. So some of us might have already had those experiences to know what our strengths are, but some of us also will have to go and test and see, okay, is this really one of my strengths? And is this really something that I'm really going to become the best at? And that's important to note because I think sometimes we feel like we should know all of this. And I'm sure that for you, Aylin, was the same in your 20 plus years of experience. You've learned a lot and then you also tested different skills and then you saw really what you shine through. And that's really an important part. And then the second one with the network is that of course, we've mentioned in the beginning that you also immigrated to Switzerland very young. And I want to emphasize for everybody that's listening and does not live in their home country, not to compare the network of someone who has built up their network and has a family there versus the network of someone who moved, because it will not look the same and you will have to work harder. And the reason why I'm saying this is because sometimes when I speak to people that live in the Nordic countries, coming from outside the Nordic countries, they are frustrated that, you know, I don't have that network. I don't have that person that, you know, believes in me or trusts me, or I don't know where to go and look for advice. And realistically, sometimes you need to start your own community and find your own people that maybe are not some of the core, let's say, business people in the country, but have an impact in their communities. Because starting from scratch somewhere new, it's hard. And I think we should take away this fantasy that you can do it anywhere. You can, but you need to work harder than someone who has had the context of being successful in their own country. And I want to really emphasize this, because the number of people who ask me, how did you do it in Denmark, really increases exponentially every month. And for some reason, there's this belief that it just happened. But I worked 5 years on my thought leadership. 5 years, not months, years on me posting every day, well, every week, not every day, and trying to find out what is that thing that I want to be known for? What are the topics that I can talk about? Because I'm also fairly young in my career, so I don't know all of these different topics and I don't have that experience. But this happened in time. And I want to emphasize that and to take away this idea that things will just happen. But if you are consistent, it will happen. I think knowing to navigate a complex network and being consistent is something that you learn in time. But once you show up every day, it will start paying off. And this is something that I learned and has been successful to me. And I'm comfortable sharing it. But of course, it's also something that I want people to know, that everything you see on LinkedIn has probably been built in a couple of years. It wasn't built overnight. And on that note, Alem, I really want to ask you about thought leadership and branding yourself, because you're doing a great job and you've mentioned it as one of the core things to be aware of when you are looking to progress in your career, that it will help you. And you've just mentioned something very important, which is that you didn't have to apply for jobs. And for some people, this is a dream. It's like, I don't know how to get to that point. So please tell us a little bit about, you know, branding yourself and how to get to that point of creating a brand, so that you don't need to be the one that constantly pushes, but you also get to, you know, receive some rewards from being so active in a community.
Thanks a lot, Alexandra. And I feel so, you know, actually in line with what you have been saying. I mean, as you said, there are a lot of people struggling to be connected, to build that network when they move between the countries, right? As immigrants, as refugees, as expats. So when I came as a refugee to Switzerland, and there was nobody, right? I was nobody and no money, no language, no education. You're a child. You know, your world has just crashed because you had to move to another country, not just for fun, not for studying, not for a better life. It was just, you know, we had even a worse life, you know, no money, no friends, no language, bad living conditions. Even we live in a very luxury country, very, you know, a democratic country like Switzerland. And building that from scratch, and the first thing is you have also emotionally a lot of anger. I can, you know, with all people that I also am supporting who have immigrated to Switzerland or expats, they have also this kind of anger, right? I mean, they have been looking, try different methods, and they have the anger because they are highly qualified. The people that I work there have so many qualifications from a personal point of view, but also from an educational and from an experience point of view. And then they come to Switzerland, and or to, they go to another country, and they have to start from zero. You know, they feel like they are worth it nothing. So they have to first build on their own worth and then build this network. I mean, as you said, how can we do it, right? I mean, you have spent 5 years posting every week or every day on LinkedIn. I mean, I have been using LinkedIn since back, I think it was 2006 when it came to the market, right? And I have been using it in that those times, not so often, you know, more connecting to people, having conversations. But in the last 10 years, I was really using it quite often. And for the last 3.5 years, I have been using it for my own business. But also I'm sharing not only the business side, but also my private life with the kids, the challenges that I'm facing, you know, the also some vulnerability I'm showing, right? I mean, I shared once my refugee story, right? How I came as a refugee at the age of 12, where I was carrying my 2 years older brother on my back because he was handicapped. And this is also something that builds your trust, you know, people trust you because they think, oh my God, she has gone through this challenge. She has gone through this challenge. She would connect with me. She would feel how I feel now, or this, how I struggled, or I was bullied twice in my career, right? I'm sharing my bullying experience, saying, this is how it has happened. This is how I failed. This is how I received treatment. And this is how I moved out with learnings, how it has helped me to grow, right? And then again, people, I mean, I have clients who are going through a burnout because they were bullied, and they cannot call it bullying, but burnout. I have, you know, clients that are struggling on a daily basis with a bad manager. So with different challenges, and they have to start also from the scratch. They love their job, they love the company, but they have to move into a new environment. And this is, again, a lot of challenge that comes with. So they have to prove themselves again during the first 3 months of probation that they can do the job. So what can we do, basically? I think one thing that we can do is to really understand our emotions. Okay, what emotions do we have? How do we feel? The anger, the disappointment, the, you know, whatever emotions we have, where do they come from? What do they make with us? When do we feel? And when you move between countries, we feel weak, right? You had a great family, friends, lifestyle, education. For example, I had a client who moved to Switzerland as an expat, together with her husband. And then the husband decided to get divorced. She was here with 2 kids. She had received 1 year coaching from the company, not successful. And I helped her to find a job within 3 months with 60% more salary than she was thinking. And now she can take care of her kids without becoming dependent on her husband. She is divorced. She can stay in Switzerland, right? So, and she was really thinking, oh my God, you know, do I need to go back to my country? So, because how can I do that? My kids are here. All this, you know, all this disappointment also towards the country. I'm so qualified. Why can I not find, you know, something? Why are the companies not interested in me? I can bring so and so much experience, etc. So there are different challenges. But then when you start first looking at your emotions, working on yourself, but also start building your network and also asking for help. Because we women, we are actually trained in many cultures and educated to give and to be strong, but not to ask for help. And if we start asking, you know, small by small, hey, I need help here. I don't know how to do this. Writing a CV, right? You mentioned earlier also, how can we position ourselves? So where are my strengths? So the big challenge of people having with their CV is the success story. So what are my success stories in my career and or in life? And when I ask them, tell me, share with me three of your success stories, doesn't matter who these people are, top managers, mid-level, low-level, entry position, they struggle. They can tell me the top achievements of others, but not themselves. Sorry. And this is where we have to start. I always said, like, it can be at the university, it can be in work, it can be in your private life. What are you most proud of? Think of that. What have you achieved that you are most proud of? Or your kids tell you, your partner can tell you, your friends, ask your friends, ask people around you. And then you will start seeing your real value. Hey, actually, yes. A lot of times they are surprised. Oh, yes, actually, you know, I have helped the company to save so-and-so millions of euros. Wow, that's amazing. And you don't have that in your CV? Yeah, I never thought that this would be, needed. So
a lot of advice.
Exactly.
I'm so happy that you also go through specifics, because the aim of this interview is also to talk on particular use cases and maybe pieces of advice that you have noticed work. And also you have some success stories to share as a result of people implementing those. So I think it's fantastic, Alam. I'm so happy that you share all of these nuggets of wisdom with us, because I'm sure some of our listeners took notes and they will go and implement some of these. And if you do and it's successful, please contact Alam and I so we also get to hear your story and get to support you even more. And to wrap up our interview before the final five fire questions, I want to ask you, if someone would come to you tomorrow and say, look, I don't care about money or title, but I care about working passionately for something, and I don't feel like I'm finding that right role, what do you normally advise people that have this drive for finding what to work for passionately?
Good question, because this is a question that I have been faced on a daily basis. Yeah. Nowadays, you know, we have seen that hybrid working is possible, remote working is possible, and people don't necessarily, and especially Generation Z does not want to work any longer for money. You know, they want to have the flexibility, they want to travel, they want to see the world, they want to be actually digital nomads. So here the question is, where is my passion? The word passion can be very challenging for some people, but I ask my clients the question, when do you see yourself losing the meaning of the time? When you do something, what is that something when you do it that you don't care about the time, right? When you lose yourself in time, so when you feel in the flow. It can be painting, it can be writing, it can be helping people, it can be anything. You know, this one thing, what is that one thing that when you do that, you don't care whether you're hungry, whether you're thirsty, whether it's day, whether it's night, whether you sit somewhere on the train station, on the ground, right? So what is that? And a lot of time, actually, it is something related to their job. You know, something that they have been doing in their job is like, I give that example of cooking, right? If you want to invite guests to your house, you want to cook a dish, you know, and just, what is that? I mean, is it the invitation, having friends around? Is it that what you like? Is it preparing the recipe? Is it that what you like? Is it the cooking itself? You know, because you do multiple tasks during the cooking, chopping, cutting, boiling, frying, you know, or is it the table that you want? Do you like decorating? Right. So what is it? It's cooking. It's, you know, like cooking, but it has so many elements. And then when you talk about that, they find out actually, no, yes, now I understand why I have selected this profession, why I have been doing that for so long. And What is it really I like? And therefore, find out what you like doing most and how it energizes you. Because if you don't, if you do something that you don't like, your motivation will decrease, your engagement will decrease, you know, and emotionally you will not be connected to that. So therefore, find out what that is. For me, for example, yeah, I mean, I'm working since I'm seven. I'm earning my own money since I'm seven. And for me, what I loved was being connected with people, having the conversation with the people. And, you know, from time to time, I'm meeting all my old friends at work and also my managers. And last, you know, this week on Thursday, I met like 15 top managers in different companies that are my former colleagues. And each of them came to me and said, Ayla, we always knew you would go that direction. Because I was in life science and regulatory, you know, scientific environment. And they all said, we always knew that one day you will go that direction, you know, helping people. Because you were the go-to person. You were go-to person and you were connected with everyone. And we didn't know how you did it, but you were connected with everyone. And I knew it very early on. That was my passion. But of course, it took me many years, as you said, because I had to earn money. I had to feed my kids. I had to have a good salary, right? And all of that were kind of sometimes elements and also blocking elements for us to say, hey, actually, my passion is somewhere else. For example, I have a friend who was a top manager in a bank, and she wants to open up her own restaurant because her passion is there. Again, with people, she was working with people, but more she wants to also cook for people because she enjoys being with people, talking with people, and not always, you know, being in that financial environment, helping people to become more, you know, richer, but having this day-to-day conversation. So find out where your passion is. And you can, for that, sometimes it's difficult to, you know, find out what it is. Again, you can do the strength assessment quiz or the strength assessment, or you can ask your friends, like people that you have worked with, like my friends now. If I had asked them what I am good at, they would have told me. But I never asked because for me it was obvious, right? But if it's not obvious to you, you can ask people, and then they will tell you, yes, you're good at that. You're good at that. So one thing that I want to also emphasize on the you know, on the leadership aspect, you know, one of the questions that I'm being asked when it comes to leadership is, so leadership is, you know, I see people moving between companies. I'm sure you're also seeing that. That's okay. But what I care more is who follows this person. Who follows that person? How many people follows this person into that company? Then you see if this person is a real leader. If not, there are people... You know, I met just a former colleague of mine, and she's moving between companies now. And the whole of her team said, you see, wherever you go, we will follow you. And there are people, you know, they leave and everyone says, oh my God, we are so happy that this person has left. Right? So I think we have also to think, who do we want to become?
Absolutely. I mean, what a wonderful way of closing off the interview with a very good reflection on the fact that leadership is personal, and your impact on other people can also be quantified when it comes to, you know, what impact you left and how many people will miss you. And you know, that's a testament to the sort of person you are and to the sort of leadership that you conduct. That in such a big organization, people will rather leave with you than you leaving that role empty and then basically leaving a gap for others to fill. That's really something that will be, if you are ever in this situation, know that you've left a testament of your leadership in that organization, and that's very beautiful. Thank you so much, Eylem. That was a great last piece of advice for us today. And well, it's not done, but I'm very happy that you went through all of the different situations because we learned a lot. And I'm sure that the audience also has some to-dos now that we have had this this very fruitful interview. And to move on to the final five fire questions, I'm going to start by asking you, what is one book you think everyone should read?
Oh, actually, there are many, many books, but there's one book that is written by Adam Grant, Giver and Taker. So that helped me also to understand if I'm a giver or a taker, and in what situation am I a giver and a taker.
Very nice. I didn't read that one, but it's on my reading list now that you've mentioned it. What is the best piece of advice that you have ever received?
Actually, that was when I was five. And when I was five, my father was in prison because he was politically active. And I visited him in the prison when I was five. And he had handmade a bird with little, I don't know how you call it in English, pearls with little pearls. It was a very colorful little bird that could fly long in the air, right? And when he gave that to me and he said, girl, don't forget, your body can be in prison, but your soul should be always free, right? Make sure that your soul is as colorful as this bird and don't let anyone to imprison your soul. So that is something that I'm still carrying. And when I remember back, I feel so emotional because how many times we feel in prison, in a relationship, at school, at work, in a country that we are new, we don't know the language, right? So what can we do? And we are so unique on our way. We are so colorful on our way. What can we do to not become imprisoned, not to put our soul into prison? So this is, I think, what I always tried to do. How can I become even more free and fly long distances?
So beautiful. Thank you so much, Eylem. That's really beautiful. Okay, on that note, who is your role model?
There are many, many role models, but one woman, which is my mom, she has always been my role model because she's very innovative, right? And she's 77 and she can hardly walk, but she can invent out of nothing something, right? And when I was 5, 6, when we had, when my father was in prison and we had no money, and I stopped school when I was 5 because my older 2 years older brother was handicapped and I had to carry him and support him. Some days we had no sugar to drink our tea, right? For breakfast. And she was like making a game out of it. And she's, kids, we were 4. She was like, let's play a game and try the taste of the tea without sugar. And another day we had no tea, right? The black tea. We are in Turkey, we are used to drink black tea for breakfast. And she was like, today we have the sugar and we don't have the tea, but let's try finding out how the tea tastes without tea, but with sugar. So, and this gave me also a lot of ideas in my whole life, how creativity can foster your innovation and how innovation can help you to survive and in your life and to become, a better version of yourself.
Wow, that's a great... reflection and also piece of advice for everyone thinking that they're lacking something, that maybe you should look for role models to learn from and don't be so strict in your definition, because it's a fantastic example of how you can be resilient in front of difficult situations as well. So thank you for that, Alem. Now, approaching the end of our interview, I wanted to know, what would you choose to do if you were to have another career? But you're already on your second career, if not more. Is there anything else you would have liked to do?
Actually, that is my third career change, because my first profession was private banking. You know, I was a wealth manager for 3 years. And then when I realized actually the world of finance is not my world, I need to have an impact, I moved into pharma industry and started my career as a departmental assistant, because I had no university degree in science, you know, in a scientific area. So I had started at a very low, which is fine, you know. And then after 22 years of pharma experience, within this 22 years, I could move up to team lead position, managing a team of 14 people from 14 different nationalities. So, and now with Women on Stage, this is my third career change, right? My initial dream was to become a lawyer, and a lawyer who would work in a humanitarian lawyer, right? Working for Amnesty International, whatever. Because this is something that I still do. You know, I fight for my own rights, but I fight also for the rights of other people, you know, and mainly women. Because I know very well the Swiss law and labor law, private law, and I have won a number of court cases without being a lawyer, right? So cases that for my family, for my friends, from some people, cases that lawyers said this is you're not going to win, right? And I prepared all the documentation and I did go to the court and defended them, and we won. So if I wouldn't do what I'm doing today, I would have become probably the first Turkish lawyer in Switzerland. I would have opened up a lawyer firm in the respect of humanitarian activities.
That's fantastic. What a beautiful reflection also on how to support others. Thank you so much, Alem. And the last question for today is, if you could change places with someone, who would it be and why?
With my daughter. She is now going to turn 12. And I'm talking with her from time to time and say, look, her name is Dila, which means my heart. I say, look, my heart. When I was 12, I moved to this country with nothing. No language, no education, no money. And this is how I moved. I had to cross border in the middle of the night, carrying my 2 years older brother on my back for a life that you have today. My goal was that, you know, that I have a better life, but I have a better life for my family. I can create and design a better life for my family, for my kids, but also for anyone that I'm surrounded or anyone that I know. And today, I mean, in 2 weeks, she's going to turn 12. And she has everything I could dream of or beyond my dream, right? I mean, she lives in Switzerland. She has a Swiss passport that opens her all the doors. She goes to a school that, I mean, she goes to public school, but it's one of the best education we have in Switzerland. Then she speaks English. She learns French. She speaks German. Then she has all the financial support. She doesn't have to wear any clothes from anyone. Until I was 19, I was wearing secondhand or even third-hand clothes, shoes and clothes. So, yeah. So I'm very proud of her, but because you're asked, I would be in her position.
that's really beautiful that you shared that. And happy birthday to your daughter. That looks like a full circle moment that we get to talk about it now, and she gets to turn 12, and you get to see also the results of you looking for a better life and doing all the sacrifices. So congratulations again, Ilem. You're a big inspiration for me. And I'm sure that you're a big inspiration for all of our listeners. I'm so grateful that you joined us today. And I hope you really enjoyed this interview, because I definitely did.
Definitely. Thanks a lot. It was really great talking to you. And it's a great pleasure to be connected with you, because I also very much admire what you do and what you share and how you share the stories, right? And how you also help women in your country, but also outside of the country. So, I think we need to support each other in many different ways and help each other to shine. Because sometimes I'm also asked, okay, what is the meaning of women on stage? Do you help women to prepare for the stage, right? I said, I prepare them to shine on the stage of their life, in their private life, but also in their business life. So that's why they should be on the stage on their life. And therefore, thanks a lot to you for me being on your stage and to shine on your stage. This is really, really amazing what you have been doing and you have established over the last couple of years. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Ilem. I really appreciate it. And I'm sure that we will get to collaborate again in the future and also support each other. As the hashtag goes, women supporting women, I hope that I'll get to see more of your amazing initiatives. And we also hope to grow our initiatives abroad. So I'm sure we're going to meet and support each other even more. Thank you for today. Thank you for joining us, and thank you all for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this interview, and stay tuned for more inspiring interviews with female role models.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of FemLead Podcast. Share the news with your friends and follow us on social media at FemLead Podcast everywhere.